Hey, what's up, family? In this video, we're going to be talking about the four things that prevents you from healing your heart, and we're going to teach you how to heal your broken heart. But before we get into our live Q&A, let's go ahead and talk over these points. A verse that hit me today as I was on my walk today, the Holy Spirit said, do a video on brokenheartedness. And the verse that jumped right into my spirit was Psalms 147:3. And the word of God says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. I have a few points that I'm going to cover, and then we're going to really talk about those four things that prevents healing and how to position yourself for that healing. And then we're going to get into a good live Q&A. The first point that I wrote was, many of our physical, relational, and professional problems are due to a broken heart. Many of our physical, relational, and professional problems are due to a broken heart, meaning that a lot of the issues that we have today is due to brokenness. A lot of us, we are completely unaware of our broken state coming into this world. And since we were already broken coming into this world, we were vulnerable and not protected from other things that may try to break us. And since we had brokenness in our spirit because of what Eve and Adam did, now we're carrying this false facade as if we're put together, when all actuality, outside of the mending of the Holy Spirit, we are broken. I often tell people that a broke person is not a person that is that doesn't have financial resources, even though that is true. A true broke person is an individual who is not working. All of us came into this world broke, unable to work. For instance, no one uses a broke remote to cut on a working television. Nobody uses a broke charger to charge a working phone. Anything that's broke is not working its intended purpose. Nor does someone use a remote to hammer a nail. When we understand that brokenness that we all came into this world with, we'll begin to ask ourselves, hey, God, I need you to heal me so that I can work. Broken people cannot heal. And when you understand that you came into this world broke, and when you came into this world broke, not fully able to function and work properly as a man. Without God, we cannot work properly as a man. Without God, you cannot work properly as a woman. Without God, you can't work properly. Without God, you can't work properly in a marriage. Without God, you cannot work properly in anything. Even though you may be skilled, even though you may be wealthy, even though you may have all of these things in your life, you and I cannot work if we're broke. Without God, we cannot work. And so the goal of God is to mend the brokenness, to heal the brokenhearted, so that we can actually work healed, worked educated, worked skilled. And so when we begin to understand it, we'll begin to say, okay, God, I need to be in your will so that I can work effectively and efficiently. So let's keep going to my next point. I wrote, broken people break things. Healed people heal things. Say it again. Broken people break things. Healed people heal things. Let's talk about that. A broken person in a marriage will break the person they're in marriage with. A broken parent will break the confidence of a child. A broken man will break the hope and the internal beauty of a child. A broke wife will break the king, will break the strength of a man. A broke business owner will break their employees. A broken person will always break things. And I also wrote, healed people heal things. In order for us to actually bring healing into the marital scope, or to bring healing in the business world, or bring healing to whatever sector that God wants you to be healed for, we have to be healed. Hurt people, healed people, heal people. Next point. There is no greater wound than the wounds of a broken heart. There is no greater wound than the wounds of a broken heart. What does that mean? That you can break an ankle, you can break a hand, you can break a bone, And no matter how great the pain of that break, nothing is worse than a broken heart. So many of us have been broken, and some of us have been abused, neglected, and rejected, and it's preventing the right projections. We're not able to get in alignment with God's will and then to fulfill our purposes in life. Let's talk about this next point, a wound. Let's break down what a wound is. A wound refers to emotional or spiritual pain, distress, or brokenness that individuals experience due to various life challenges, traumas, or disappointments. These wounds can affect one's well-being, relationships, and overall quality of life, causing feelings of despair, loneliness, and hopelessness. The definition of a wound refers to emotional or spiritual pain. How many of you all right now are going through deep emotional pain? Emotional pain that was spawned by neglect, that was spawned by rejection, that was spawned by false hope, that was spawned by disappointment. How many people have spiritual pain? Due to spiritual ignorance, we are allowing ourselves to entertain demonic lies about God hurting us. Spiritual pain, the disconnection from God, the loneliness that spawns from that. It says distress or brokenness that individuals experience. See, in this fallen world, things will fall. And anything that falls that's breakable will break. When a soul falls, it will break. That's why I don't believe in the thought of falling in love. I don't believe in that. I believe in growing in love, because anything you fall into will hurt you. Anything that falls into something has a higher probability of breaking. It says, or brokenness that individuals experience due to various life challenges, traumas, or disappointments. These wounds can affect one's well-being. So when a person is brokenhearted, disappointed, expectations not met, realistic or unrealistic, it causes these different things. It affects your well-being. We're talking about your whole well-being. It also affects your relationships. Right now, if you look at your marriage, you look at your children, you look at all the different relational points that you have, how broken are they? How affected are they by your brokenness and overall quality of life? I love that. Like, the level of your brokenness or the level of your healing determines the level of life that you live. It says causing feelings of despair, loneliness, and hopelessness. So we see that's what a wound is. Going back to Psalms 147:3, it says he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. How many of us have been wounded and we still have those wounds? See, there's a big difference between having a wound and a scar. Jesus, when he came off the cross and revealed himself to his disciples after he handled business down there in hell, with doubting Thomas, Thomas was like, yo, show me the hands, show me the feet. And when Jesus showed him his hand, there wasn't a wound. There was no blood dripping because all the blood already was shed. There was a scar there, or there was a sign that there was once a wound there or in his wrist, but what was left was a scar. And one thing, the reason why Jesus left that scar there, because Jesus had all the power to allow that hole to be mended, but he left the hole to show other people that through the holes in my hands, through the holes of my feet, you can be whole in any area of your life. So he left this scar so that when we're wounded, we can see that because he was wounded for our transgression and bruised for our iniquity, that we, when we look at him, we could be able to say, okay, God showed that if his scars are healed, my scars can be healed. So let's define what it means to bind up a wound. To bind up a wound means to dress or treat a wound by covering it with a bandage or other protective materials to promote healing and prevent infection. I wrote that for a reason. The binding necessarily doesn't do the healing, but what it does is it is protective material that promotes healing. and also prevents infection. So when you're wounded and you are aware that you need to go to God, then God will bind up those wounds with grace and mercy. He will bind up those wounds with various things because he understands that a deep emotional heart wounds take a long time to heal. They take a long time to heal. And when you begin to understand that, God understands that it's some emotional wounds. God understands that trauma you went through and that realistically how long it will take for that to be healed. God understands the wounds of divorce, the wounds of separation, the wounds of neglect, the wounds of abandonment. Most of us, we were wounded early. We was wounded at 6 years old, wounded at 7 years old. And those wounds have been fresh wounds all the way up into our 20s, 30s, 40s, and for some 50s and 60s. But later on in the video, I'm going to be talking about how to position yourself for that healing. But when we understand that when God binds our wounds, when we allow him to, it is protective supernatural material that wraps around your mind, that wraps around your soul, that wraps around those wounded areas, promoting healing. God said, I'm binding you with my scripture. I'm binding you with my presence. I'm binding you with that will let you know, transforming your mind so you'll know that within time you will be as if you were never wounded. It says to bind up a wound means to dress or treat a wound. That means he'll dress it and treat it by covering the wound with a bandage or other protective material. And what's good about that protective material is it's supernatural. That the enemy cannot bring infection in. It says it promotes healing and prevents infection. In a broader metaphorical sense, especially in spiritual or emotional context, binding up wounds refers to the process of providing care, comfort, and healing to someone who is hurting or distressed. It involves offering support, understanding, and guidance to help the individual recover and find relief from their pain or suffering. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's why the Bible calls him the comforter. He comforts us. He nurses us. One thing about the Holy Spirit, he's the nurse and the surgeon. He's the nurse and the doctor. He nurses the wound, and he's the surgeon required to bind and heal the wound. Let's keep going. It involves offering support, understanding, and guidance. All that the Holy Spirit brings. He offers support, he offers understanding, and he offers guidance, which helps us recover. Now, here are four things people or we try to bind our wounds without relying on God. Here are four things you may be using to bind up your wounds without relying on God to do so. And of course, I spelled the word bind. Give me 1 second. All right, so here are the four things when people try to bind their wounds without relying on God. B, they try to use busyness. They try to use busyness to bind up their wounds. I wrote, many people try to distract themselves from their pain by keeping busy. While staying occupied can provide temporary relief, it doesn't address the root cause of the pain and can sometimes exacerbate it. Many people try to distract themselves. They say, you know what? I'm not going to go to God. I'm not going to take the time needed. I'm not going to invest the time needed in God's word, in his presence, to stockpile and fill up with his joy. But what I'm going to do, instead of relying on God, I'm going to get busy. I've been guilty of it. I say, you know what? Let me go get busy. Let me go work on something. Let me go do something. And the whole time I'm neglecting and overlooking what is required for wholeness. Many people try to distract themselves from their pain by keeping busy. Keeping busy. Say, you know what? I'm going to find something else to do. Oh, I finished that. I'm going to find something else to do. And I tell people, whatever you don't take the time to address will be used to undress you. So you and I have to address, you can never be too busy. You can never use busyness to bind up your wound. Number two, I what most people try to do to bind their wounds or try to cover it and try to heal it is through isolation. Some individuals believe that withdrawing from others will protect them from further harm. However, isolation can intensify feelings of loneliness, leading to deeper emotional wounds. See, there's a big difference between separation and isolation. There are going to come seasons where you and I are going to have to separate. Separate means I'm separating myself from a pool of people or a group of people, and to separate and set myself in connection with God in a greater and deeper way for them to be healed. But isolation says I'm not, while separated from people, I'm also going to separate myself from God. Some individuals believe that withdrawing from others will protect them from further harm. However, isolation can intensify feelings of loneliness, leading to deeper emotional wounds. So when you isolate yourself, it only intensifies what you have internalized. Next, in negative coping mechanisms, turning to unhealthy habits such as substance abuse, overeating, or engaging in risky behaviors can seem like a quick fix to numb the pain. But in reality, these behaviors only offer temporary relief and can create additional problems. What are you using as far as negative coping mechanisms to try to bind up your wounds? Some people, they believe in the mantra, or they believe in the idea to get over someone, you got to get under someone else. People use all different things to be temporary fix. And one thing about a temporary fix, you have to go back to it to get quote unquote fixed. But Jesus talked to the woman at the well. He says, when you drink of me, you will never thirst again. Jesus told Martha that your sister Mary has chosen the better portion, and what I'm feeding her will never come out of her. Martha was trying to feed Jesus with something, was busy trying to feed Jesus with something that would have passed through his digestive system. But he says, what I'm feeding Mary will never leave her. I was guilty of this. I used to emotionally eat. Overeating was my coping mechanism. Pornography back in the day was one of my coping mechanisms. I felt like that I had to go overeat. I would get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and drive to a 7-Eleven just to get 2 honey buns that would numb the pain. There was times that I would go to Jack in the Box and get 2 double cheeseburgers and whatever because I thought that the food would help. Negative coping mechanisms. Last but not least, D, we said B was business, I was isolation, 3 was negative coping mechanisms, and 4 is denial. Denial is another bandage that we try to cover with to cover our wounds with versus relying on God's wrap to wrap us in his arms and heal us. Denial, ignoring or denying the existence of pain and wounds is another common approach people take. Ignoring or denying, meaning I'm ignoring that I have this wound because of my prestige or because of my place in the business world, whatever. I'm hiding that I have this issue or denying that it ever happened. Some people, they ignore it. Some people, they deny it. But either way, ignoring and denying it doesn't heal. By pretending everything is fine, they hope to avoid facing the reality of their situation. Listen, you cannot avoid it. However, this only delays healing and can lead to more significant issues in the long run. So the more you ignore, the more you deny, the more the wound becomes infected because that bandage is not thick enough. That bandage is not supernatural enough. You and I cannot use physical things to heal a spiritual issue. Just like you cannot use a Glock to shoot a demon. Just like you can't chokehold a demon. Just like you can't slap a demon. There's a lot of multimillionaires and a lot of multibillionaires. Individuals got all the money, all the security in the world, and none of them can prevent demons from tormenting them. Just like we cannot use physical means to a degree. We're talking about physical means, like physical weapons to ward off demonic spirits. You and I cannot use physical things, physical experiences, even though they can be used by God There's a lot of herbs, a lot of different things, self-care, all that stuff that can be used. But in and of themselves, they cannot heal. While these methods may provide temporary relief, they are unable to truly bind and heal the wounds. Only by trusting in God and seeking his healing can we find lasting restoration and wholeness. How many people, show of hands, you want lasting restoration and wholeness? Show of hands. I just want to see a couple of people in the chat. How many, you can raise your hand and you can scream whatever you want to do in your house. How many people, by the show of hands, for those who want to participate in the chat, desire lasting restoration and wholeness? What's so good about Dr. Christ, Dr. Jesus, Dr. God, is that it doesn't matter what the wound is, he has what is needed to heal you. My wife got both. She's just rejoicing. See, he's the only one that can heal. The Bible says the word of God is active, sharp. It goes deep. It's like a surgeon's knife that separates the spirit and the soul to go deeper. Mike Wallace, my brother, says he got his hands up. Jody Summers, that's right. It's possible. No matter how long ago it was, God can redeem the time as long as we allow our minds to be renewed about what wounded us. Have you yet to forgive the one that wounded you? Have you yet to forgive you, you being regretful for allowing yourself to be wounded or doing self-wounds or self-harm? God said, no matter what it is, I have what it takes for your divine healing. Now, here are five things you must do to put yourself in position to be healed and to have your wounds binded. Then I'm going to answer some questions. Five things you must do to put yourself in position. You and I must be disciplined and put ourselves in position. We got to be humble enough to put ourselves in position to be healed and have our wounds binded. I tell people sometimes when I talk about along these lines, I talk about how you notice that family is not involved in the surgery room, surgery room. Your friends can't come into the surgery room. Why do you think surgeons don't allow family into the wound? Because when family see you get cut, not all of them are able to handle seeing you get cut. That's why God says, I'm going to separate you and dress you for surgery. And you're wondering, why is family forsaking me? Or why family seems distant? Friends seem to be distant, because God is saying, hey, I need them out of your space so that I can heal you. Also, why do you think that you have to be in a place of stillness in order for you to be healed from this or that? Anesthesia, putting you to sleep, putting you at rest. You and I cannot really be healed to become our best until we are willing to be at rest, until we are willing to be a patient on patient's table, we won't be healed. Now, here are five things real quickly that you and I must do to position ourselves to be healed and have our wounds binded. Number one, openness. The first step to healing is acknowledging the pain or brokenness within. You have to be open. You got to say, you know what? I give up. I'm open to now wanting to be healed. I acknowledge the pain. I acknowledge the brokenness within. It says being open to recognizing and accepting one's vulnerabilities and shortcomings allows for the beginning of the healing process. You and I must be honest and open if we want to be healed. And we have to be honest and we have to be open on the way God chooses to heal us. Some of us, we have a problem with that. Number two step, remove the hindrances. I was supposed to do a worksheet. But anyway, I'll try to have that worksheet a little bit later. Remove the hindrances. Identifying and eliminating barriers that hinder healing is crucial. This may involve letting go of bitterness, unforgiveness, negative influences, or harmful behaviors that obstruct the path to wholeness. So you have to remove the hindrances. You got to say, you know what? I'm going to remove this bitterness. I got to get better. I can't stay bitter if I want to get better. Step three, seek God's presence. The first two steps are the preliminary prerequisites for you to be healed. You have to be open to go to the doctor. You have to remove all the hindrances that's keeping you from going to the doctor. And then you seek the doctor's presence. Drawing near to God and seeking his presence is essential. Through prayer, meditation, and reading his word, you can find solace, comfort, and direction that leads to healing. So when you seek the presence of God, you will find comfort, you will find peace, you will find joy, you'll begin to find comfort. So that when it's time to do the surgery, you trust the surgeon. And the Bible says in his presence, there's a fullness of joy. Joy is a high level frequency. That when you're in his presence, you begin to get full of joy, which shifts your perspective. The other thing he says, number four, engage in community. Connecting with the supportive community of believers or trusted friends can be instrumental in the healing journey. Sharing burdens, receiving encouragement, and being held accountable can foster a conducive environment for healing. We need a conducive environment for us to be healed. God will surround you with the right community of believers. You need someone that's believing, that whose belief is many miles beyond you. You have to find people whose beliefs have been strengthened because they've gone through what you've gone through. It says, the Bible says, confess your sins one to another so that you might be healed. That's the principle. That don't mean you confess your sin to everyone, but there are certain people that you got to confess your sins to, because then they'll know how to help you. They'll know how to hold you accountable. Last but not least, we must embrace self-care. Physical, emotional, and spiritual self-care are vital components of healing. This includes practicing healthy habits, seeking professional counseling if needed or coaching if needed, and engaging in activities that nourishes the spirit and soul and promote well-being. My friend, you have to nourish your soul. Nourishing your soul means, you know, going for a walk, going to the gym. Nourishing your soul is taking yourself out on a date. Nourishing your soul is doing whatever biblically supported and spiritually mature activities that can nourish your soul. And you must nourish your spirit, reading God's word, shifting your mindset to his perspectives. By taking these steps and removing hindrances, we position ourselves to receive God's healing and restoration in our lives. Once again, in order for you to receive that healing to your broken heart and for your wounds to be binded, my friend, you have to be open. Number two, you have to remove hindrances. Number three, you must seek God's presence. Number four, you must engage in community. And number five, you and I must embrace self-care. I pray this video was a blessing to you, this message. I'm going to answer a couple of questions and then I'm going to get out your way. But I think a good resource that I think will help you all in this regard is just check out my programs and books. Let's see, what's a good book? World War Me is a good book, a spiritual warfare book. The Purpose of Freedom, which is a book on soul ties and strong. Let me show you what those books look like. Here's the book. Spiritual Warfare, World War Me, Winning the War Within. Another good book that I think will be a blessing to you. Let me see. Is The Purpose of Freedom, Whom the Sun Sets Free is Free Indeed. Books that will help will be preventative tools to help you to avoid future brokenheartedness is my latest book, The Purpose of Relationships, as well as Multi-Purpose. These books and resources, including my mindset coaching program, as well as my relationship mastery program, will be other great resources as well to help you. And they are all sold. Oh, I can't forget. The Wholeness Journal would be a great journal for you too, to pursue wholeness in your life. So let's answer a couple of questions and then I'm going to go. I got to get on Instagram. Lucinda says, hey, have a question. I have a question about healing and how to forgive those who intentionally betrayed you without remorse, acknowledgement, or apology. Let me see if you put anything else. Okay. Hey, have a question about healing and how to forgive. First off, you have to shift the way you see those who intentionally hurt you. One of the greatest examples of this is Jesus on the cross, where he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Those people intentionally put nails in his hands. Those people intentionally put nails in their feet, in his feet. They intentionally stuck him in his side, intentionally beat him and ripped his beard. They intentionally, but even though they intentionally bruised, beaten, poked, hammered nails in the hands of our Savior, he still had the spiritual maturity to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So when you begin to understand forgiveness, you'll be able to say, okay, they, even though they intentionally try to harm me, they don't know that they were being used for what the devil meant for evil. God's going to turn it for my good, and there will be front row to the table that's going to be prepared in front of them. So in order to get to your feasting table to eat, not to eat for them to see, but for them to see how God restored you, you have to forgive them. And you have to shift the way you look at it. First off, you have to say, I survived their betrayal. People are going to betray you because people don't value. And if they're devalued on the inside themselves, they're going to betray you to jump somewhere else they see where there's greater value. And sometimes when people betray without remorse or acknowledge no apology, let them go. I talked about on Instagram the other day, I talked about how someone asked me this question, but I forgot what the question was. But I told them, let God be your closure. And I talked about how you don't worry about why they did it, how they did it, when they did it. Just be glad they did it, because now they've been exposed as someone that shouldn't be in your life. And what you got to do in order to healing process, I want you to write their name on a sheet of paper. Up under their name, I want you to write down how they wounded you. After you write down how they wounded you, then I want you to look at the wound and see how God will turn it into worship. See how God will turn that wound into worship. Now, what I mean by, I'm not saying turn that wound into a worship album. I'm talking about a life that is worshiping. Some of the greatest worship came from wounds. And what I mean by that book, you worshiping God by being obedient and creating that gain from the pain. Next thing you know, you'll be surrounded by women and people who will learn from you on how to handle those who betrayed you. Hope to help. Jody Summer says, I have a weakness for this girl at my job, but we are just friends, nothing more. How can I make sure that I don't desire this girl whenever I meet my future wife? Attraction doesn't go away that easy. Well, attraction goes away when you begin to subtract the way you see. So if you have a weakness for this girl, I want you to write down the things that make you weak when you see her. What makes you weak? Is it her body? Is it her hips? Is it her mind? Is it her personality? And then when you begin to see what about her makes you weak, I don't want you to put the onus on her. I want you to put the onus on yourself. Why am I allowing these things to be a weak point in my life? Because if you leave it unaddressed, if you leave it not dealt with through discipline and effort, then when you get married, then no matter what your wife does, you will create this idea of this woman and you will have these thoughts of what if? What if I would have got with her? So now you got to get into the real world and realize, hey, I don't got time to have any woman to be a source of my weakness or be a conducive thing to my weakness, right? And so when you begin to do that, you will begin to say, okay, God, I'm going to take my weaknesses to you. I need you to set me straight on this. So how can I make sure that I don't desire this girl whenever I meet my future wife? You got to get focused on desiring God more than you desire anything. Desiring God, desiring development, and desiring the fulfillment of your purpose has to replace those desires. But in order to expire those desires, you got to find the root reason to those desires and then find a new fire for God. And what you do practically is realizing, hey, I cannot think this way if I want my relationships to succeed. And so the more you become attracted to God, attracted to your development, attracted to your purpose, my friend, then you'll begin to find yourself less attracted to that individual. Alicia says, thank you for this word. I learned so much from you and I applied in my life. God gets the glory. I'm so glad it's a blessing to you. Sophia says, this is true. A lot of us are often in denial of such things. Jody says, her looks and her mentality. Good. But you also have to trust that God will provide you with the woman that it encompasses everything, if not more than this woman that you think right now. And there maybe there's a lack of belief in that area, but I believe that if you begin to really grow in God and stick with it and really reflect and process your emotions, then all of a sudden you will begin to find contentment in God and then begin to trust that God has someone 20 times, no knock against her, 20 times better for you. She may not be 20 times better than your woman, but she'll be 20 times better for you, if that makes sense. I love you all. Check out my videos. Check the rest of my videos on my channel. Typically, I have done videos on something that you're probably searching for to some degree. So all you got to do is type what you're looking for in my name, and that will pop up. Also, check out Mindset Mastery. If you like, coach, man, I need some mindset work, man. I'm stagnant in my profession. I'm stagnant as an entrepreneur. I'm stagnant in my purpose. I'm stagnant with God. It's because of mental blockers, coach. And I got to get rid of these mental blockers because it's blocking me from what I need. And check out Mindset Mastery. If you're struggling in your relationship with yourself, with God, your significant other, or your children, and you really are desiring freedom from that, then my friend, check out my Relationship Mastery program. Those two programs will be starting. You're so welcome, Lucinda. We'll be starting end of May, if not early June. So get in there now and get ready to work on those things. Also, if you're an elite, high level, or entrepreneur, high performer, and you're like, coach, I'm successful professionally, but man, I'm feeling some strong strain and pain in my relationship with my wife or my husband or with my children or with God, and I want to have holistic success, because I tell entrepreneurs of all time, your business success is depending on how you handle and become in alignment in the other areas of God, because a lot of people are professionally skilled, but they're not relationally skilled. And so that Fulfillment Elite program is for entrepreneurs, individuals who desire higher fulfillment, holistic success. Or if you already doing pretty good in those different areas, but you need mentoring or spiritual advisory in that area, and you want to be part of a mastermind of people coming together and sharpening each other and sustaining that level of holistic fulfillment, then check that program out as well. Gotta go. Y'all be blessed. I pray this video was a blessing to you. I'll catch you guys next time. Peace.